You are listening to Life Clips, episode 27. So, hey everyone, Kim here. I am back. I am sure you did not miss my face, and I didn't miss airing my face. So today I have an amazing episode. I have two amazing people who are going to be on here. And as we know, Life Clips has kind of taken a little turn here as of late. But the reason we're taking that turn is this: I really felt like this is something that we need to discuss, like the state of the world, what's happening, why are things happening. And next week, I'm still hoping to get one other person on here. Again, his schedule is so hectic. And if we can just nail down a time, we would record. But unfortunately, between my schedule and his schedule, it's just we're not meshing. But before I get started, in this corner here, you will see my watermark. Please hit the subscribe button. And I ask that you share so other subscribers will join. Also, please give this video a big thumbs up. Yes. The reason being is, you know, YouTube, they do use your subscribers, the likes. So it generates a lot. And I just feel like, you know, it's not me. I just want to get the message out. So anyway, please make sure to subscribe, thumbs up, share. Okay. House cleaning issues are done. So do the same also on our podcast. If you're listening to this on our podcast, please go ahead and subscribe to that podcast platform. They're all, you know, some call it different, right? Like subscribe, others call it connect or whatever. So just choose the option to like my podcast and therefore you'll get instant notifications when we upload a new episode. Because you always know me, I just fly by the seat of my pants on this podcast. That's for certain. It's definitely not scripted. So anyway, today I have two amazing ladies here with me. And I do want to preface this by saying that they are family. And the reason I'm saying that is I don't want anyone to think that because they're family, that this is a crock of bee and we're just making this stuff up. So we're not. I'm extremely thrilled to have them both on here. I have my beautiful sister, Lisa, who's going to be joining us. And then I also have my amazingly beautiful niece, Dashea. And we're going to be delving into the Trump card, really, you know, and I'm excited. And as I said before, you know, this third person that I'm trying to get on, I think it's going to be an amazing interview as well. So with all that being said, as always, grab your coffee, grab your tea, just sit back and relax and enjoy this podcast because it's going to be entertaining. Both my sister and my niece are quite entertaining, so I'm sure you're going to have a great time listening. And you know, three of us girls in one conversation is always enlightening to a lot. So, anyway, that's it, but I'm so excited for this episode and I hope you guys enjoy it just as much as I'm going to enjoy recording it. So anyway, that's it. Let's go ahead and introduce and bring on my two amazing guests this week, Lisa and Dashea. Oh, hey everyone. As you can see, as I said, I've got two beautiful faces here on the screen. Dashea, why don't you give our audience a big wave? And Lisa or Libra, why don't you give our audience a big wave? All right.
Hello.
Awesome. I'm thrilled. I am absolutely thrilled. I am thrilled to have these two folks here on my podcast. So Dashea and Lisa, just so you know, we don't call our listeners friends. We don't even call them listeners. We call them family because we want everyone to kind of come together and just be a family here on Life Clips. So before we even get into anything, I want to preface this by saying, as you can see the scenery here, they are both over the road truck drivers. So I do appreciate you guys so much for taking time out, and I will insert my applause because that's what I do when I edit these videos, a big applause for what they do. Without truck drivers, we would not have what we have on our shelves in both grocery stores, shoe stores.
Thank you.
So thank you guys. Thank you. Always
You're
be
welcome.
Safe out there. Do you guys enjoy
thank
it?
You.
Do you like it?
Of course.
Yeah. So where's the most exciting place you've been?
California.
Anywhere on the West. Oh. The West is just way more better because you got little pull-offs in the mountains and stuff that you can go see. So views, and it's less traffic than busy East Coast, Northeast.
So you think the West Coast has, what, less traffic? Except for California yes. parts than the East
Except
Coast,
for
really.
California, yeah. Maybe the major cities, but overall, like, it's all the land. West.
Less. Lots of open land, mountains.
Wow. I remember years ago when Eric and I traveled, I remember really desolate, like South Dakota was really desolate. I thought at one point we were going to get murdered because he pulled off on the side of the road to adjust his log and this truck came out of nowhere and the lights went off. And I don't know. I just had this whole Blair Witch Project thing in my head and I really thought we were going to die. But so at that point, you know, I mean, he married me, so he knew he was marrying crazy. So anyway, well, that's great. But again, guys, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And I know it's kind of awkward. I myself still get nervous when I'm on the camera. It's just different. But, you know, hey, we're not here to be perfect. We're just here to get the message out.
Right.
So I have two generations here today. Lisa and I are the same generation. We are what's called Generation X. And Dashaya in the middle is Gen Y, or as we all know, they're called the millennial. Right. So I have a millennial and I have a Gen X. So you can't ask for two better people to have on this podcast. So as we know, we've been diving into President Trump. I started, I don't know how far into my episodes you ladies have gotten. Week one, I started with George Soros, who he is, the nasty man that he is. Then week two was kind of the New World Order. You know, what does all that entail? Last week, or actually, yeah, last week, no, this week was President Trump. Did he really say that? So I wanted to bring on people who, I guess, have turned the corner, so to speak, right? I have always been into politics. I don't know if you guys have always known that, but it's something that I've always been passionate about. I've always kept abreast to what's going on. And the reason I wanted you two ladies on is because you hadn't been. You're like the total opposite of what I was. So Lisa is shaking her head. Yes, it just didn't.
Hate politics, hate history.
Yes. So, well, I hate history. I do. I don't even know. I hate geography.
But I wish I would have known about it now because of what's going on, but
correct. And we're going to talk about that. So let me ask you, so I just said that you guys have never voted. So whoever wants to jump in and say, how come you never voted before?
Well, simply because I'm not into politics. So I know that at the end, I know us people don't make the final decision because that is the Electoral College. That much I remember from history, but I've never been into politics. So if I voted for Barack Obama, President Bush, whomever, how do I know I'm making the right decision if I don't know what their policies are, what their beliefs are? I just have never had an interest in it. But all that changed January of this year.
Correct.
Yeah, and it's usually pretty boring.
And we're going to get into that. So I don't want to jump ahead because we have a lot to dive in, and that's why I'm so excited. So Dashaya, how come you? I mean, you're not taught that in school. I know your history. We talked about that briefly one other time. You know, that I think you were kind of the cutoff of the changing of our history in high school. So, but how come you never voted?
Let's take a quick break.
Everyone is podcasting these days. If this is something you want to do or you're already doing it, I would recommend using Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. I currently use the Blue Yeti. Buzzsprout is an extremely user-friendly platform, and I could not be happier with their services. There are so many things that this site allows you to do. From your show being listed on every major podcast platform to the audio player that you can use seamlessly on your websites to the detailed analytics of what we, come on guys, the podcasters want to see. Don't lie, I know you look at that too. We want to know who was listening, where they're listening, how long they're listening. There are zero hassles because Buzzsprout provides these tools and more to help promote our podcasts. Fellow podcasters, do we not work hard? Well, I am here to tell you that Buzzsprout works even harder to make our podcasts stream
streamlessly. Yes, I know that's not a word. If you want to join a company that already has over 100,000 podcasters, click the link and let Buzzsprout know that we sent you. This will get you a $20 credit if you sign up for a paid plan. And in addition, of course, it'll help support our show. Don't delay. Start Buzzsprouting today.
Well, first off, let me say, like, the next set of history books should be very interesting. but, like, you know, when you learn about the basic stuff, it's boring. But they don't teach you enough about politics. At the end of the day, I don't know if there really is anything to really teach on politics, like, for a school. But they should do something, you know. But, I don't know. The importance of it,
Well, maybe because I never voted and I never talked about it in the household with her growing up. I never, you know, election day would come and go. Never said, hey, I'm going to the polls to vote. So if I'm not implementing that and talking that about that around her, then it is what it is. She's not going to have an interest in it. And then besides school not telling you, this is who we should vote for. This is why you should vote for A or B. And
well, also, as you get older, it becomes more important. You know, I'm not going to lie. Like, back working at Winn-Dixie when I had my little Honda Civic, just getting by, you know, it's like, oh, well, it doesn't healthcare. Like, I'm young. I'm healthy. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
right.
Little stuff like that, even maybe tax cuts that I've never noticed anything major. But as you get older, definitely for sure, it becomes more interesting. And not saying that as you're younger, it's not. But this election right here, and further on, is definitely going to be important.
Yeah, I agree. And Lisa, you made a really valid point, and I think that's where we've dropped the ball as parents is, I mean, because I don't remember really growing up. I do know that our family were Republicans. You know, I think just because our family growing up on Long Island, they're Catholic. And back then, Catholics were always Republican just because of the conservative values, right? So when people say, oh, you shouldn't vote for Trump, blah, 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 I vote for a platform. I'm glad President Trump is on that platform. That's for sure.
Woo-hoo, me
but
too.
I know. But in all my
well,
years,
that's what I had said.
Platform. Yeah. What have you
I said, even if you don't like Donald Trump, it's not, I mean, somebody's going to run it anyways, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the policies at the end of the day. Like,
correct.
You go to work every day, you may not like your boss, but you still go there because it's what you have to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Unfortunately, you have to be around people that you don't like. And like I said, if you have your own personal preference on why you don't like Trump or Biden, so be it. But don't let that affect their policies. Now sit back and look at their policies. You know what I'm saying? That's
correct.
It.
I agree. So, okay. So now are both of you, I know Lisa's registered to vote. Dashaya, have you registered to vote?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. All right. So, yeah.
I pushed it. You see, I pushed her. She was going to vote, register, but I kept telling her, like, back in March, Dashaya, register to vote. I'm going to do it. April, Dashaya, register to vote, because this is how important it is to me this year.
Okay.
It's important to her, too, because we have a passion for it.
So I want to stop you there, Lisa, and we're going to talk about that. So the reason I wanted to preface this first by saying, okay, you never voted. You're never into politics. What changed? What happened to you and your mindset and your way of thinking to say,
where do we begin?
Just from the beginning.
The coronavirus, period. And then,
yeah, because
obviously, it's a trickle down effect from there.
It's just crazy how things were so normal end of 2019. And I consider it normal. I have my job is good. Thank God my job still isn't affected. But the change that drastically happened, and I was not even a Trump. I mean, I'm with a man that is very strongly a Democrat, and I would always hear CNN, and for 4 years in my ear, CNN, and just negativity. And I know I questioned you a couple of times about it, but then all of a sudden, I don't know, I feel like the Lord, the spirit of just clicked to me, like this coronavirus, me being in the medical field before being a trucker, just
so hold
things
on, Lisa.
Weren't matching
what
up.
What did you do in the medical field? Just because I don't want people to think like, you know, you were just sweeping floors. You were involved in the medical field. So so people understand that you literally know. And I also, while you bring that up, I also want you to bring up something that happened while you were in the medical field with Barack Obama as president, and we never had this type of thing. So we'll digress here just for a minute.
Well, I did nursing. My daughter was born in 1989, so 91. I was a nurse from 91 until 2000, the end of 2009. So I went to trucking, and H1N1, the swine flu, was out. And I remember doing all the PPE, the isolation, the mask, everything. And it was severe. I never kept track of what was really going on even then, but I just know that my manager, my nurse manager, always had to call in and say how many beds we had because we were getting more patients in and this and that. And I remember just doing all the stuff that they're saying they're doing now, but I don't remember people dying and all that. That mm-hmm. I don't remember, but I do remember an influx of patients coming in with upper respiratory, you know, infections and all that, but I can't really put a finger on it of exactly what was going on then.
So then this time, so you went through that. Yes, Tashaya.
Does anybody know around what year? Because was social media also popping then too? Or
2010.
No,
it was 2010.
Not at all.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
not
right.
Mistaken,
it was my
right?
space.
And the media was not the evil satanic people. Well, I don't know if I could say satanic, but the evil demons that they are now.
Well, the reason they weren't is even if they were, their precious Barack Obama was in office. So that's probably why they didn't bring up H1N1 because he was president at the point.
If I hear right, you know, because I'm still learning and seeing what was true and what was rumors and what all. I believe they were testing, which I don't remember them testing either then, like they're testing now with the coronavirus. But from what I'm hearing, they said that he said he ordered to stop that testing. Is that true?
That is correct.
So we weren't getting results for that either.
No. There wasn't a point. I mean, honestly, he would just rather golf. I mean, it wasn't a big thing, but that is correct. He did stop the testing.
But it was a big thing.
It was. And I think actually H1N1 was probably worse than this ridiculous thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we know you were in the medical field. You had seen it, blah, blah, blah. And now let's move forward to where I cut you off with my conversational ADD. So then what clicked in you? What happened?
I don't know. I just remember watching the news and because I really wasn't even into the news up until then, but I kept, you know, when I'm driving, I'm looking at my Google, how it has all the news on there. Mm-hmm. And I kept talking about the ship that was out in California and people were getting sick and sick. And that triggered something. Something was going on that ship. And then I remember going on vacation in Miami in March, probably around March, the middle of March. And the big TVs all around. The place was dead. You could tell it was probably a popping place before this whole thing came out, and the pool was empty, but they had these big two screen TVs up there, and they're talking about people influxing in the hospital in New York and just all this. It's when Trump was bringing in the ship, and I'm thinking this is just ridiculous. Like now I'm a little scared now, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I honestly can't tell you what made me realize that this is not what people are saying it is. And all of a sudden, because I don't even think I remember Biden talking or anything then. No. I just remember Trump up there just trying to talk to the American people, and I can't really pinpoint.
Cuomo was the only one in a panic. Like
he was another one.
When you go, and I don't want to dissect from this, but when you go back now, because we're hearing that the thing about Trump didn't make a big deal about it or didn't put an urgency. God forbid he acted like Cuomo, the world would have been going crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Cuomo was up there just, he didn't show, he's not a president, so I don't expect him to, but he wasn't showing even governor or any type of leadership either. He was all panic.
Yeah.
Oh, what are we going to do? You got these people dropping like flies and this is then the third. And it's like,
right.
You know, you were panicking people. You had people probably going in the hospitals more for the panic that you caused than the actual virus itself.
Correct. And that's a really good point, Dashaya, honestly, because a president is supposed to lead no matter what the, like people ridiculed George Bush when 9/11 happened. I don't know if you guys remember, I know we were all down in Hilton Head when that happened, but Bush was in a school with kids. And it was story time. So if you remember, the Secret Service or whomever it was, I really don't remember, walked over, whispered in his ear, probably the Trade Tower had been hit. Then it really, I mean, he didn't panic at that point because, oh, okay, well, that's weird. How did a plane? And then when the second one hit, that's when he was, you can see his facial expression change. But he was an amazing leader. Instead of panicking, and he got complained on because he continued to read the story to the children before he got on Air Force One and flew to wherever they took him, right? But I think that showed a sign of leadership with him. He didn't panic. He was very calm in the midst of terror. Literally, our nation, and again, I know there's conspiracy theorists out there. I don't want to get into 9/11 conspiracy today.
That's all the subject.
It is. a part of me believes it's right. A part of me says, I don't know. But then again, look at our government. So, but anyway, so he calmly.
Yeah, now when you look at how today is, anything could have happened back then.
That is very true. So he calmly got, you know, read the story to the kids, kumbaya, and let's leave. So the thing with President Trump, and you brought up a really good point, if he came out and started, oh my gosh, guys, we got to close down the economy, and he started freaking out, I think that we as natural beings would be like, I mean, look at us. Look at the.
Well, we were already freaking out without him doing that.
Thank you.
We were already. I mean, me personally, I was already still like my mind and my heart was racing. I couldn't enjoy my vacation in Miami. Everything closed down. We were panicked, you know. And then they were saying you could everything you touched, you could get it, you know. Well, with me too, I know nurses. I still know nurses, and they weren't telling me. You know, they were like, "It's bad, Lisa," and just like any other flu.
Right.
The flu is bad. I mean, I've told you numerous times, my ex got the flu really bad. You know, we were.
Can you describe what he had? Yeah, I want you to describe that real quick, if you don't mind.
Well, I believe we were in Utah. We were in one of the western states, and, you know, the elevation is high, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but we were online buying something, and somebody behind us coughed. We both turned around and looked at the guy, and we went about our business, paid for our stuff, and I'm having an echo, sorry. We went about our business, and we're in the truck driving, and he might have been driving first, but I know within 24 hours, he was just having trouble breathing, but he was coughing a lot too. And so he's like, "Hey, babe, I think I'm going to need you to drive because I'm having trouble breathing." And anyway, we took him to the emergency room, and they said, "You have double lung pneumonia." So we called our dispatcher in Chattanooga. They sent us, routed us back up to Chattanooga, and for 3 weeks, he was in a hotel. We had to wear the mask. I had to wear a mask then because they didn't want me to catch the flu from him since I was all in his face and taking care of him. But it was a solid 3 weeks of him taking albuterol, breathing, you know. Thank God he was healthy. Took him to the emergency room a couple of times. He might have been a little panicky that he couldn't breathe and all that. But when I took him to the final doctor about 3 weeks into it, she said, "You know, this is a good woman here. You know, she saved your life, you know." But still, by the end of 3 weeks, one lung was clear. The other one wasn't fully. There's about a quarter left, you know, but you could see the white in there and all that. But there's a simple person coughing behind us. Thank God I didn't get it. But I had to take care of him for almost 3 weeks.
Right. All right. So, Lisa, you just said that he had, you know, pneumonia. It was in the lung. So was it kind of relative to what we're seeing right now with COVID?
Exactly. Exactly, as in a healthy person. Yes, he had the temperature, the fever, the chills, the body aches. And myself personally, I had the flu twice in my lifetime, and severe flu.
Have you ever gotten vaccinated with the flu? Have you ever taken
never.
The flu?
Will you never.
Take the COVID vaccine?
Never.
Shaya?
No.
What about if they ask your kids to take it?
No. They don't even get vaccinated with the chickenpox or the flu now. My grandkids.
They get the minimum shots, whatever it is, for school, and that's it. Nothing more, nothing less.
Good for you. Good for you. So, Dasha, let me ask you this, and it's totally digressing. This just popped in my head. So, and I don't know, Lisa, if you did this with her, the HPV vaccine. Dasha, you never got that, right?
Okay. It didn't really come. Hasn't it been out for probably about 15 years now, maybe 10, 15 years?
I think it came right after you reached that. What do they want them at, 10 or 12 to get it? So it just was coming out, and I just was discovering it.
Right, and the thing is, it's a sexually active, I mean, I don't know if you guys know that, but that's what the HPV is for. I'm thinking, why am I going to put this crap in my kid at 11? But anyway, but then again, Netflix has cuties on, so let's just...
But also, why would you, even if your kid was sexually active, no matter what age,
well,
I don't know.
It stops cancer. That's how they're equating that. That's the lie that they're telling
you. Nothing in your body. If you're good, but at the end of the day, if I'm meant to get cancer, unfortunately, I'm going to get cancer. You know, why stop your body from doing its natural causes, period?
I agree. So I read today on the news, speaking of vaccines, that, and I don't remember which country it is, so I don't want to speak out of context, but there's a country currently right now that they got some sort of vaccine, and now polio is on the rise, and they don't know if they're equating that vaccine with I'm not a fan of vaccines, never took a flu vaccine. I know when Lisa and I were growing up, to your point, I think we just had a minimum standard number of vaccines. I mean, I don't remember. I know today there is a lot, though, for kids. So, okay, so COVID kind of pushed you in the direction of, hey, I need to wake up. So with that being said, do you recall anything previously before that about just the media in general or people in general with their disrespect towards Trump? Did you didn't care about what they were saying about him? What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to reverse a little bit, because when you were like, when COVID was coming out, then you had the people explaining to people dying, but then you had these nurses coming out and doing videos and these other doctors. Yeah. So now you're saying, oh, it's a whole nother side of the story. So any open-minded person would be like, So when you start tying that into, well, they're getting more money for COVID patients, red flag number one, to be like, right, well, now I need to start paying attention to this, because now something's not right. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You mean when they were getting like 30 grand for every
patient that was diagnosed or got it or died from it. Correct.
Yeah.
Like, why are we worrying about who's getting paid about a death? That was a red flag too.
Right. And they were also paying them for a ventilator, correct? I think or something with the
ventilator. If they died while they were on the ventilator, but if they put the patient on the ventilator, they were getting paid that. And those are true facts, because I've heard many videos from nurses, and I've heard it from my friends that are nurses.
Okay. And which happened in New York. Yeah, that happened in New York. That's why their death count was so high. And Lisa and I know someone. So when someone says, someone died from it or whatever, I'm like, listen, my mom had COVID. This guy passed away from supposed COVID, but Lisa and I both agree that they probably put him on a ventilator. We won't mention
him on a ventilator, didn't know what he was doing. And that's the thing with the nurses. I mean, when I did nursing, I was neurosurgical. So you worry about your brain and your neck and your back. And then there's the orthopedic nurse that I was. But if you threw me into ICU where these patients are on ventilators, and you know, there are a lot of traveling nurses, which means these nurses are coming from Florida, wherever, Alabama, to go up to New York to take care of these patients. They're getting paid buco bucks for that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the experience didn't have to be much either, because it was such a rush to, you have a degree, you've been doing it for 2 months, 6 months, let's go. And of course, oh my God, money. So,
Right. So now you throw me into this intensive care unit that I don't know how to work any of the machines in there. So you throw me in there, Kim, you're my boss, and you say, Lisa, I'm that patient, you need to turn, and I don't know the number, so audience, friends, I'm just making up a number. Crank their ventilator up to 5. Meanwhile, they're on like a negative 2, but crank their ventilator up to 5, because we can see they're still struggling breathing. I don't know. I'm just listening to my charge nurse, my manager. So that's what they were doing. And that's what these nurses were saying, that they were telling us to crank these ventilators up. And that's how these patients were dying. And I do want to say one more thing. Being in the medical field, what's the number one thing you want? My mom's about to have double knee surgery. My mom would want me, my sister, her husband, everybody there to surround her, to love her, to nourish her, to help her get better. Why are you telling these people that they can't come in there to see their families?
So can I interrupt you with that, Lisa? Let me ask you. So during H1N1, when that was happening, were family members still allowed in the hospitals? Do you recall or not?
I honestly cannot remember. I don't remember.
Because I would love to know if that was the same procedure as we're seeing now.
Right. I honestly don't remember. I just know that we did have a different type of duck bill, different type of mask. It was orange, and you know, they had to test us for all that. I don't remember that. And then the other thing with the patients, just a little bit, when a patient is admitted to the hospital, you need to know your list of meds. Say you're on blood pressure medicine, you're on diabetes medicine, you're on whatever type of meds. Well, now you're being admitted to the hospital. Maybe you're elderly. You don't know what meds you need or what meds you take. It's your husband or your family, your mom, your daughter, whomever. So now I'm coming in here with panicking. I feel sick. I think I have the flu. But it's just a whole bunch of things that without the family, without your med list, it's very easy to misconstrue the coronavirus. It's very easy. I mean, were they diagnosing them back then? I don't know. In the beginning of the month. Yeah. In the beginning of the year, excuse me.
Yeah, because I remember, and then we'll go back to you, Dasha. Sorry to cut you off. How us girls get together and it's just like, we're just going to chit chat. But I remember when this crap first started coming out, and my shady shyster ex-attorney that I worked for, believe me, I want to run him under the bus, but we'll keep his name quiet and his firm quiet too. But anyway, so But I will say this, if you're in the Tampa area, call me first and I'll make sure you don't go to his firm. But anyway, so I remember when it first came out and, you know, he was panicked and I'm just like, what? And I remember the place we were working, it was right downtown. And all of a sudden it was like, they started cleaning handles and like, and you could just see people like stepping away. And I'm like, y'all are crazy. Then when I started doing what I do now, I would get like a tight, because I have anxiety, right? So when I would feel myself trying to catch my breath, I would yawn. I don't know if anyone experiences
that. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, palpitation, yeah, and you yawn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe am I getting it? And then I'm just like, no, it's anxiety, right? So anyway, with that being said, so I think in my mind, to your point, Lisa, too, parts of me at times, and I say at times very loosely, I was like, oh, is this thing real? But anyway, so Joshe, what were you saying again as we so really
Well, I was going to lead back to your point on the media and stuff like that. But so my thing was referencing that because now you got to see different sides of the story. Now, when you go to media like me, my biggest thing is the Breakfast Club, right? So it's like when you start hearing that they're only speaking on one side of it, it makes you question because I'm not on a podcast, I'm not on a radio show. But if I were, I'm going to give you both sides. You know, you got these people saying this, you got this doctor saying, probably more experienced doctors saying that, maybe get one and one, but they only cater to one side.
The left.
Exactly. Right. And it's just, they're pushing fear and they only invite people that invite the fear.
Because the left.
Yeah.
When they bring anybody on there, like shout outs to Angela Staten, right, who's running like some Congress or something out of Georgia or Atlanta, yep, something like that. For instance, they had her on there. So I guess they kind of make it seem like, okay, well, you know, we'll invite somebody from the other side. This is the same show that had Joe Biden on there that said, if you're not black, or, you know, you don't vote for him, you're not black.
If you're not black, right.
Yeah. So hold that thought too, because we're going to discuss that later on. So in case you can't tell, folks, Dasheya is mixed, black and white, or as the left just call her Carmel Swirl. Go ahead.
So this is the same platform as that. So when they invite somebody like that, who's, you know, she talked about her past and Trump has bailed her out. She had a criminal past and she's done things, you know, that she's not proud of, but she's a changed woman and she's a very activist woman out there, especially, you know, trying to.
But the abortion.
Yeah. The abortion and the trans, the abortion, like trying to bring awareness.
Yeah.
And so they talk to her. Yeah. So when they talk to her, like the stuff that she says, oh, are you sure? Or they try to question it to where it's like, it's not in agreement. You don't even openly minded agree. It's just like you're pushing the narrative of, so what that you're trans, you know?
Yeah.
So what that you're having an abortion? It's the woman's body. It's the woman's body, but it's two people. You know, that's a whole other story. But you don't push it to understand, well, I could understand where the woman's coming from, you know, yes or no. You just immediately shut the other side when the good people come up there, when the Republicans come up there, you shut their side down. Mm-hmm. And that's what I don't like. That definitely what it's opened my eyes to the show. Like, I can't, you know, you just look at somebody funny after that.
I agree. So I don't know. And it's okay if you guys say, no, you hadn't listened to it yet, but I highly recommend that you do. It's not me. It's an actual event. It's called Event 201. I know I mentioned it to both of you to please listen. It's 11 minutes. I think it was not last week, or maybe it was, I don't know. One of the episodes, it literally is from the World Economic Forum. And what they did was, to your point, Dasheya, during this exercise that they did, and again, if you watch it, your jaw's going to be on the ground, especially you, Lisa, because that's what kind of woke you up to this whole thing. And that's, I'm not saying for me, because I'm not even on the thing, it's from them. So when you see from beginning to end, and all this is just a, so basically they had this forum go on for like 3 days. So this video is basically encapsulating those 3 days into one video to kind of a promo video, if that makes sense, right? And all it is an exercise, and it's a, they even mentioned the name Corona. Keep in mind, this happened in October of 2019. And one of the things that caught my ear in that video, Dasheya, to your point, was they mentioned how to control the narrative. How to, and I'm putting it in truth, right? They didn't say it the way that I'm saying it or you're saying it. Basically, it's how to stop the spread of lies and the falsehood. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what that event meant. What that event meant was, how do you silence the truth? And that's what captivated my ear. And they also said something else that was very telling on just really the fakeness that we've been hearing and the false narrative being pushed, is how do you control the people? So anyway, again, maybe it is 11 minutes. I don't know. I've had so many videos
editing.
It just, you do. So again, it's called Event 201. You didn't even have to go to my podcast. You can just Google World Economic Forum or whatever. I don't even think that's the name now in my brain. But anyway, it is called Event 201. You'll see a little synopsis of what it is, and it's fake. I mean, you can see, and then you have a panel of like 10 people around a table that are legit people. Bill and Gates Foundation, they had a representative there. You had a representative from China CDC that was there. So this isn't some bullcrap. That part was real. So what they did is they took this exercise and they gave all these scenarios. What if, what if, what if? When you hear it, you're going to be like, holy crap. Like, I'm not saying subscribe and share that podcast, but subscribe and share that podcast, because that will definitely, a lot of people haven't even heard of Event 201. And once you hear that, it's really going to now wake up, I think, even more people, because their agenda was in black and white. It was right out there. And it's sickening, actually. It was sickening. Okay. So we
I just wanted to add to that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Well, news is just going to keep getting, especially with social media, it's just going to keep getting, it's actually easier because think about what we had, Globe, right? Globe and Equa. What's the other? The two fake newspapers that are still out today.
You talking about the Inquirer and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Oh, like those things where they would put like, you know, like Tom Cruise
fake stuff in there,
right? Had UFO sex with an alien or something. Yes. Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, that was their way of really getting false information out through paper, like, you know, physical. But now with the social media, because even like celebrity news sites that I follow, like the Shade Room and stuff like that, where I go get my, you know, celebrity gossip. But the same way you can't believe everything about a celebrity, what makes you think that you can go believe everything that they post about what's going on in the world? Mm-hmm. It's extremely, extremely biased. I'm telling you, that's what just makes you, sometimes like, I don't even want to follow you. You know, I do because right. it's, you know, you do.
I'd be nosy to the celebrity stuff.
Correct.
You can't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know, you can't believe, because celebrities correct that all the time. So it's so crazy for even like Idris Elba, whoever, those type of famous people to go ahead and believe it when you know that blogs create false stories all the time. So what makes this any different?
Right.
You know, this is not about coronavirus, but this one post that I saw where they were like, oh, the study shows that black doctors take better care of black doctors over white doctors. So now you got, not necessarily my age range, but maybe 16 to 25 reading it. And now maybe you never even thought about that, but now that's implanted in your mind, like, oh, you know, I want a black doctor delivering my baby. And but how do you think the white people feel when that's being said?
Right.
I think it's going to be equal. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you can have black doctors and white doctors that treat it wrong. But when you keep planning news articles like that for us to read, you just read it and you get caught up in it. And now it's in your train of thought. Now you're teaching your kid to be afraid of the police. And again, this is just spreading, but the stuff that you see is what you're taking and learning. And I say, especially the younger generation, because that's the stuff that we watch. You know, I don't ever take that news and bring it to my daughter at all, but you got some that do. And then now they're implanting it in their kids. So the next two or three generations are going to be in trouble.
I agree. So speaking of that, Lisa, I don't know if you remember or not, but so I've been here for 2 years, and previously you guys know I worked at CNN. So when Trump was elected, I remember, and Lisa, I don't know if you remember me telling you that, but we had a lot of, okay, so basically just to kind of bring you the how it works when you have people who are on air. So you have, employees like Chris Cuomo, you've got all those other idiots that are on there, Anderson Cooper, those, they have what's called an employment agreement, right? They are actually signed on a contract anywhere from 3 to 5 years. They get bonus language in there, and then they get more cash if their ratings or whatever. So anyway, so that's...
So they get paid to lie.
Correct. So those are your employees. Then you have what's called contributors who come on. So those are the people that you'll see, like Anna Navarro. She's a contributor. I don't watch CNN anymore. I can care less. But all of those people, right?
Communist News Network. I'll
correct.
Promote it.
Yeah.
Communist News Network. Don't watch
definitely.
It.
Definitely. That is one company I don't ever regret walking away from. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, when Trump came into office around a year after he was in, now, mind you, we had on CNN, because they claim they're fair and biased. I mean, fair and whatever they say, they're not. So they had on, they had Ben Ferguson. I can't think of all the names. They had, he was a black gentleman, or was, he's still living. Dante something, maybe Paris was his last name. Anyway, they had maybe five or six Republican contributors. And all of a sudden, when Trump started pushing back and getting a little bit more vocal towards the press, Lisa, do you remember me telling you all of a sudden, left and right, they started firing, letting go? Because what's called, they have in their contract, it's called pay or play. What that means is they get paid to be on air. If they're not on air, then they don't get paid, right? Pay or play.
Right.
So because of that stipulation, and all these people had agents, but because of that verbiage within the agreement, and they're a contributor, you know, you just cut them loose. It's not like an employment agreement where they're bound to that contract now. Both sides are. A contributor, you're not really bound to that contract. That's why they put pay or play. So if anyone wants to debate me on that, or they don't agree with me on that, come to me, because I'm the one who saw the termination agreements and these people just leaving left and right. Then they would try.
Well, what did that? Oh, no, sorry.
Go ahead. You're okay.
Oh, no, I'm saying I could, you, with your pay or play, I mean, isn't that when Cuomo faked his coronavirus? Isn't that considered playing? Like,
No.
Is that part of his acting?
No, pay or play means the pay. It's just the terminology that they use. So they pay you, play you. Do you see what I'm saying? If you're played on air, then you get paid.
Oh, okay.
But they call it pay or play.
Okay.
So, but the one thing that they try to do, and it still baffles me when I think about it. So basically they would try to get people, remember in the beginning Trump, or maybe you don't know, Trump was firing people like left and right. Okay.
Well, I do know, and I've heard my own theory because of who I dated.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't like working for him. That was it. You know, they didn't like working for him.
No, so he was draining the swamp from like week one. But what happened is he kept his enemies closer, right? And then started firing people left and right. But what they were trying to do, like Sean Spicer, or I think that was Lisa and I discussed that was his first press secretary. He didn't last very long because then whatever that girl's name came on. But the Huckabee's daughter.
Kelly.
No, Kelly is now. It was the one. Brown, Sarah.
The
it was
Brown
Sarah.
One. Sarah. Yeah, Sarah Huckabee.
Right. So, but what I'm trying to say is, so this person, if they got fired by Trump, CNN would pick them up and they would try to beat other networks like Fox.
That's grimy behavior, though.
It is.
You don't even have to know these people.
This is the kicker, though. Seriously. So they thought they were going to disrespect President Trump on air or give some dirt. So there was one guy, I can't think of the name. And again, I probably should have researched and wrote it down, but I'm just too busy as you guys are. But there was one gentleman that they brought on. They gave him a contributor deal. Trump fired him and he said nothing but great things. I am not kidding you. Literally within a month, he was gone. They never renewed his contract. There was a termination agreement because CNN wanted dirt. Who was the black woman? She was on The Apprentice.
Condoleezza Rice?
No, she was on The Apprentice.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
We both said the same black woman. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Omarosa.
Omarosa.
Yes. So that would have been a perfect person to get on CNN because literally she, I don't know what happened to her. She must have had a menopausal moment and all of a sudden started
hating them. She disappeared, right?
You know? But that was like, they were BFFs, you know what I mean? So, and he even put her in the White House, but he probably, you know what? Trump is not stupid, but anyway, we can digress.
But he's racist. Why'd he put her in the house if he's racist?
I know. And we're going to talk about that. So there's so much to dive into because this can go on for 7 hours. Okay. So what are your thoughts right now currently of President Trump?
I think he's handling the country great.
In which ways?
Basically not trying to force us to do anything. I mean, he's leaving it up to each different cities and state. Like, shout out to Orlando, who's about to open back up soon. Like, I don't go to
like
the clubs,
everything, like 100%?
Up. The clubs are about to open up. I know the clubs in Georgia have been opening, which is crazy. Wow. Not to jump off subject, but we've seen a couple of our friends in Atlanta on Snapchat or even just videos, and nobody has a mask on. And
isn't that Keisha Bottom Littles, the big Democrat governor or mayor from Atlanta?
She's the mayor, but Brian Kemp is the governor, and he tried to sue her. So I'm assuming that there's probably...
She's just falling back.
Yeah, he probably put his big old foot up her booty and said...
Yeah, now you don't even hear from her.
I'm running the state. I'm running... You might run Fulton County, but I run Georgia.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, he's got, like, you know, he's letting everybody handle their each and all, but... No. Leave it up to somebody like Reese or somebody that say Trump is the reason that it's closed or it's opening away.
Big bozo.
My president is not bozo. I want to let you know that man has handled this pressure. He's calm. I've never seen him lose his cool except with the media. What's his name from CNN? John Cosner.
But does he really lose his cool? No, he just says.
No, he puts him in their place. He's a typical New Yorker. He puts him in their place. I've never seen him like panic about anything. He just is calm. He lets everybody speak what they got to say. And he's had this task force. Yeah, he's had this task force basically say everything for him, and he's leading their way. But now, like he said, it's time to open up this economy. We know how to handle it. Let's do what we have to do now.
So
enough
speaking
is enough.
Of Trump and his demeanor and what he says, and we all know that the press just eats with it and they turn it into something completely different. So the bleach. And Lisa and Dashe, I know you guys listen to most of his lives or whenever he speaks. So you guys literally listen to President Trump. I don't. I mean, I get snippets on like shows like Dan Bongino or why am I drawing a blank on names? I'm telling you, it's just that time of life with me and my age. The Jewish guy, Ben, whatever, I don't know.
Ben Carson?
Ben Carson.
Glenn Beck?
No, he's the Jewish, the young kid, the podcaster.
Glenn Beck is another good one to listen to.
Yeah, Glenn Beck is good. So hold on, I can tell you who it is real quick. It is, there he is. Hold on, Ben Shapiro.
I thought I said that, yeah.
I get little sound bites, but you guys literally sit back and you listen and you take into what President Trump says from beginning to end.
While we're driving.
So what did he say regarding bleach? Let's clear the air on that because I did not bring it up on the podcast last week. I just had too much. So what did he say about bleach?
I can't say verbatim, but he was basically saying that he knows bleach kills. So why couldn't we make something that had some type of a chemical or an ingredient that isn't strong or like bleach?
So he wasn't telling people to literally just...
He wasn't saying, go out, buy a bottle of Clorox from Walmart and guzzle it down. Absolutely not.
Okay. All right.
Just like something else.
If he did, that would have been the clip being passed around, not altered where it's bits and pieces. I never even heard him drink bleach. Like... People that even put the stuff together and chop it down don't even come up with that solution of the video.
You know what I always found funny about the bleach, though? Do you remember the Tide Pod challenge?
Yes.
Cool. Thank you. That was like, hey, let's go ahead and open a Tide Pod and chew. You know, I finally bought one of those for the first time in my life, and they really do make your clothes clean, just so you know. But anyway, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I know. I got them. They were on sale. So I'm like, let me try it. But, so that and the Unstoppables are really good. My clothes are smelling really fresh lately. So, okay. So he said the bleach thing you guys were discussing about him handling his, he's calm, he's cool, he's collective. So did you guys, because I was, and I think Lisa, I was calling you that day. Did you witness from beginning to end live his behavior when there was a shooting outside of the White House?
I sure did. Remember, I was watching him.
Okay.
Calm.
Do you think in your history that you can remember with any politician being that calm, cool, and collective?
No, but then again, I've never really watched it and I've never seen nothing like that. So, but
okay.
At least he didn't say, oh my God, like what happened? Like, you know, and excuse me, press, I got to go. And he wanted to stay out there.
Correct. And he did come back, like, you know,
They weren't sure if they even wanted him to go back out there, but he said, I want to go back out there.
Yeah. Yep. So, Dashe, as a younger person, what do you think of his demeanor as a younger person, younger generation?
I mean, it's just straightforward, but some people, on a natural daily basis, can't even respect a person like that. It's intimidation. So
you think he intimidates people?
The weak. I mean, some people aren't made to be around strong people. It intimidates right. them. Therefore, that's what I'm saying. He's not for the weak.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think he intentionally goes out there with the, let me be, it's just his demeanor.
Okay.
And I'd want somebody more natural speaking like that than get up there and reading a script all the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure they come with their notes, or, you know, something mm-hmm. to, you know, to look on, because it's very easy to, you know, fade off somewhere else, but he's not sitting there reading. He right. sounds passionate. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And he's going with the flow. He's telling you what it is.
And that's why we voted. I know that's why I voted, because he's not a politician. And I, mm-hmm. you know, Lisa and I have had the discussion numerous times. He's not polished. Yeah. And I like that. And as a New Yorker, I've told this from the beginning when he got elected, because I am a fellow New Yorker, right? Lisa still sounds like a New Yorker, but there's something about New York mannerisms, the way we speak and hold ourselves, that are different, I think, than a lot of other states. He's just a New Yorker. So really from the beginning, his tone, his approach, nothing really ever offended me, because I'm like, I don't know.
That's what
I grew up around. You know what I mean? It didn't faze me. Even our family was very loud, very boisterous. I mean, you have a whole bunch of Italians and Mexicans getting together. We're not quiet people.
Right.
And that's our demeanor too. You know, I think people get upset. So how do you guys feel about having a president tweet the way that he does?
I mean, it's the platform that we use nowadays. I mean, why not?
So he uses it for good, or should he stop tweeting?
No, he shouldn't. He says what he wants to verbalize. He says it with his fingers. If you want to call him Twitter fingers, that's what he has.
Right.
I feel like you're more in touch with him like that.
Say that again, Dashaya.
You're more in touch with him like that. I follow him on Facebook, and whether it's not him per se, maybe a secretary, but they're keeping you updated on everything that's going on.
Sometimes I feel like it really is him, just because of
what he may posted.
Facebook.
The guy's awake at 23 hours a day, and I think that one last hour that he gets of sleep, I think, because honestly, I don't care what anyone says. You can call him Bozo the Clown, Reese. You can call him whatever you want, but he is the hardest working president I have ever seen.
Without getting paid.
And not getting
a job. That's what I'm saying. Me as an ex-nurse, why would I go into a patient's room day after day after day? They're wanting a pill. They're wanting to get changed. They're wanting this. They're wanting that. I'm going to put up with that day after day and not get paid.
Right.
That's so basically him fighting the media. That's basically the same thing. He's fighting the media, evil, mm-hmm. demonic people.
So do you think that when he wins in November, he'll be a little bit more vocal than he is now? Because, you know, second term presidents really, unless it's not an impeachable offense, they have a lot more room to say how they feel and express how they feel. So what are your thoughts on that?
I hope so. I hope that the people behind the scenes, the whole left, Pelosi, even Bill Gates, all of them, like something, I hope something with this virus comes to the surface, something more than what we know now, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm sure he knows stuff, but of course he's the president. He can't say, but you could tell by him not having Fauci and Bricks, whatever that doctor's name are, coming out there. I'm sure that they're still all talking nice about each other, because when they do their interviews, you hear them say, Trump will say, I'm good friends with Fauci. And when Fauci does his interviews, he's like, I'm good friends with Trump. Mm-hmm. But that's on the surface. But behind closed doors, we really don't know what's going on. And I believe come January, he's going to keep Dr. Albright or whatever his name is there right now, which Dashay and I found on our radio station in Florida. And we agreed with him out the gate before he even came to the forefront with President Trump as his new doctor. We approved of everything he said.
Wow. Okay, so Dashay, what do you have to say about that?
He's still going to be him. And when we were talking about the image, like Diddy and Welcome to the Atlanta remix, when he said Welcome to New York, he said you could spot us out of town by the way that we walk, the way that we talk. Cocky state in New York. Like, that's New York.
Do you want to wrap it for us here on the podcast? You want to go ahead and get our audience? Because I've seen you on Instagram now. That's okay. If I would have known you had some P. Diddy, I would have put something up for you. You would have been like the whole lip sync and Dashaya there for a moment.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's telling you right there. He's telling you right there how New York people are. And we already know Diddy, how he's cocky. So, if he's telling you how New York people are, what makes you think Trump's going to be different? People right. already say New York people are rude, and you know, but it's just them. I don't think they're supposed to be rude or coming off rude. It's just, it's natural.
Right. Okay.
And I think people like that. They just like his cockiness. You know, you don't have to be a politician to to be that way and know what you're talking about and knowing how to handle certain situations.
Right.
Correct. And I think, honestly, because one of the reasons I liked Bill Clinton was Bill Clinton, and I didn't vote for him, but I didn't mind him as a president because foreign affairs, like, you know, we have America here, right? We need to know what's happening domestically and to take care of us domestically, blah, blah, blah. But politicians really didn't give two flips about us as Americans. They just didn't. They never have in a really long time. So, right. But usually presidents are very knowledgeable when it comes to foreign stuff, because that's where the United States, being that we're a superpower, we really need to understand, like, how do we do this, that, because everyone relies on America for everything. So,
right.
When Barack Obama got into office, I was like, man, his foreign policy sucks. And I remember telling mom that, and she was like, what? And I'm like, that's why he has Biden. But now come to find out, the reason Biden's policies, he knew foreign, is because he was stealing money for his son, Hunter, in order to get that, right? So
right,
I can see that. Ukraine, I think it was Ukraine.
Oh.
So he probably did stuff in China too. I think I heard that. But anyway, so he was knowledgeable in the foreign aspect. But Trump came on the scene, and that really worried me because I was like, I don't know. I know that he was pro-Israel, but that doesn't mean you understand foreign policy because other right. countries don't operate like America. So I'm saying all that because, to your point, Dashaya, here was this man who was really non-political. He was this rough-housed New Yorker with just this demeanor that was like cocky, arrogant, I got you. And oh my gosh, like his foreign policy, what he's done for us as Americans and how he's, people don't want him to win again. You know, China doesn't want him to win. There's countries that don't want him to win because they're losing under the Trump administration. We're winning. So my point is does that ever play a factor in how you feel about Trump? Like you're talking, he's done three peace deals now. So now he's up for two Nobel peace
Double
prize.
Prize. Yeah.
You know, I mean, to have now, I'm not going to bring up the Bible because everyone just shuts off, but let me just say something. When he's talking peace, like to have Arab nations, prophetically, that's important for us as believers, but for him to the first, right, with the UAE, I mean, United Arab Emirates, I mean, that's a very big Arab people, right? My friend Danielle had posted, you know, Saudi Arabia's next, you know? So, because I don't know if you guys know how the Arab nation works when it comes to Muslims. You have good Muslims and bad Muslims. You've got Shiites and you got Sunnis. So you've got two sides to this. Both of them hate one another, just so you know, like, so the Sunni doesn't like the Shiite, right? With that being said, then he did the whole, whatever deal after the UAE, and now he just did Bahrain, and I'm like, what? This guy's got zero foreign. I mean, I didn't even vote Mike Pence.
So how is he doing it though?
I don't
how
know.
Are they
like?
How are they trusting him? Is the right word to say? How are they?
That I don't know.
I mean,
like he's doing something. He crossed the North Korean line that no other president has ever been able to do. I mean,
right.
There's something magnetic about this man and how he. It can take his business ventures and move it into the White House and make something successful. But go ahead, Dashaya.
Well, that would be my question. My question is, in your opinion, what is the biggest difference between a politician and somebody that's very successful in businesses?
Well, a politician, unfortunately, is all about themselves. I mean, honestly, a politician is how do they get their pockets fatter. It's the same principle with welfare and Social Security. For years, politicians have been taking out of mine and your sister's retirement. For years. That's why when we're ready to retire, have you ever noticed, Lisa, that we never, remember how we used to get papers every month or every quarter where our Social Security, what we would get?
I haven't seen one in years.
For like 10 years, over a decade.
I haven't seen one in years. As a matter of fact, right. I got some in my closet at home.
Yep. So. The reason they stopped is probably over 10 years. Actually, I take that back because I remember I got one when I was in Atlanta and I about fell out and I hadn't seen one since. So probably,
how long you've
been
working,
years.
How much you're going to get when you retire, if you retire by 67 or 71.
Right. So that, Dashaya, is my answer to you, is a politician is not about you, Lisa, or me, or the American people, or any country. A politician is only about themselves. And that's where Trump, I think, differs from the rest, is Trump genuinely, to Lisa's point before, here is a billionaire, which they claim he was not a billionaire. Common sense is he has money because the guy hasn't taken a salary. So Here's this man never taking a salary and doing more for the people than any other politician has done before him. So that, I don't know if that answers your question, but to me, that's the difference. A politician.
Isn't Nancy Pelosi? That's a perfect example. How much was her two freezers? $2,500 each, and the expensive ice cream in California, excuse my language, looks like crap.
Kamala
Harris,
homeless
everywhere.
Way. Yep.
Potholes, roads, horrible. So what is Gavin Newsom doing for California?
Correct. New York is the same way.
Right. That's why Cuomo's begging the rich to come back now, because he thought he had all the money, but he messed up when he started making all this. Because
if you realize, Dasha, taxes are what control this country. So when Trump lowered our taxes, it seems like, oh, wow. Okay, well, how are we going to generate? So then you have states like New York and California. And I know from the legal profession, their laws and their regulations and everything is so screwed up. Like, even on an agreement, their laws are different than any other state. It's so odd. It's so complicated. But so with that being said, that's why their taxes are so high, because that's how politicians get rich, is on the taxes and what they
do. Well, that's why I asked the question, to kind of clarify, because a businessman probably seems like he would get a job done because he knows what people like. Mm-hmm. So you know how to make people happy. You know how to make us happy. You know how to communicate, because in order for you to make, you got The Apprentice, you got the Trump Towers, and I'm sure there's other stuff that I don't know about that he does, but
hotels,
you have to be,
golf courses.
You have to be effective in communication. You have to know people's needs and wants, and you have to be able to bring their wants to, provide for their wants and their needs. And that's what he does. So that's my question, was to kind of verify on what I wanted to say, because I'm like, besides the obvious, what is the major difference? And really, a business person is successful. Let's not just say a business person, but a successful business person to run this, because they know what people want and they know how to deliver. And he's doing that. He's doing that with the countries, and he's doing that with us people.
He is. Have you ever seen The Apprentice? Because you said something that made me think that you may have seen an episode of The Apprentice.
I've seen it.
I can't say I've watched. I may have peeped an episode. I've never fully sat there and watched and been into it or anything.
Because
season.
You mentioned what he did, and that's why he would say, "You're fired." I love that show. I was so addicted to The Apprentice. I
Everybody was into it.
Watching reruns of it.
I know. It's like amazing.
I know you're watching reruns of it.
But the reason to your point, Dasha, and you just summed it up, right? The reason they got fired is because they didn't generate enough revenue to bring in clientele. Remember, all of his things that he did were how much money can you bring in, the donations, how much revenue as far as people. Can you bring
you had a hustle to be on his show and succeed.
Right. Without your product, without people buying into your product that you're selling, well, you're not going to make any money. That's the same thing with anything that we put our hands to. If you're not going to, if I'm selling this thing and it sucks and I'm not doing anything, which this is so pretty anyway, but anyway, if I'm not generating any revenue or bringing people in, because remember, the team who brought in the most donations were the team who were exempt, the team who had the least donations, and then they had to put people up, blah, blah, blah. And then he would go through and ask them tough questions. So I think that people really need to understand that the Trump of The Apprentice, not saying that that's
is
Trump
not
today,
the president of the United States.
Right. But he knows how to check those boxes, and he knows what to do to generate, what's best for us. Right. Because we're the ones that he cares about.
Exactly.
And even as when he was a businessman, that's why I can't stand it. We're going to dive into that. I guess this is a great segue for us to do that.
But I do want to ask one question.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about taxes, and I don't know the real answer. And I know you explained it to me one time, and I hate when I get asked the question, well, why doesn't Trump ever show his taxes? What is the correct answer for that? I mean, I was just having an argument with my ex-brother-in-law, Reese, and he says, Bozo doesn't want to show his taxes. And from what I understand, he doesn't want to pay the IRS because of George Soros, or what is his reason? Can you explain that?
I don't know. When it comes to his taxes, in all honesty,
what's the big deal?
I would have to probably research that and then probably get back with you. I think because it would show exactly what he makes.
But why is that important to us as the American people, what he makes? He's given his paycheck away to a whole bunch of HBCUs every quarter. He's doing more for the black people. Why does it matter? Why are they so worried about what he's doing, what his taxes, if he filed bankruptcy or not?
Because they're trying to probably find something illegal, or maybe he didn't file his taxes. But then again, if it's tax related, wouldn't the IRS by now would have done something to him? I mean, clearly he's president. So I don't know. Great question. I'd have to get back with you on that.
I think you can go 7 years without filing anyway. So what does it matter? I mean,
it doesn't matter. And the bankruptcy thing, and I mentioned that on the podcast regarding President Trump last week. And I told you this before, Lisa, there's different chapters of bankruptcy, right? Because I had a stint in bankruptcy. So if a true businessman is not filing for bankruptcy, then they're not doing their business justice. Because when you file, and I don't remember the numbers, like 11, 19, there's so many different numbers with bankruptcy. So any real businessman will have bankruptcies under his belt. And if you notice, I remember hearing that growing up, Donald Trump filed for bankruptcy. Again, all of a sudden now he's building a $52 million hotel in New York City. Right. We're all like, I thought he was broke. He wasn't broke. He's just reassessing his assets. And that's what you do as a businessman, as bankruptcy. It's the same thing with chapter 13 or 9 as me, as an individual, right? Especially a 13. I'm reassessing my debt, but I'm not, a 7 wipes everything out. A 13, you kind of pay it off and do whatever, and it kind of moves everything around. That's all it does. But
it's
anyway.
Almost like, is that like when you go on one of them debt collection things or whatever, then people that take your bills and basically you pay the whole amount that you owe, but you don't pay all that interest.
Same thing. Okay. Same thing. So instead, well, at least we know he's a trustee.
At least we know he's an American citizen, and that's all that matters.
That's true. Lacey wasn't born in Kenya.
Right.
I know. Trump. Okay. So Trump is. So listen, Dashe, do you want to add anything to that? Because I'll get back with you on that question, Lisa, because that's a great question. And I don't know. I just know that the tax, you know, returns, I don't understand why people are hard.
But is he supposed to show it to the American people that here's my taxes? How do we know he hasn't done that part of his job already, though? I mean, how do we know?
Right. And is that important right now? No, because they need something. They need something to say he shouldn't.
And that's
be
what I've been noticing. That's what made me open up about him more, that they're trying to impeach him with this. They're trying to do this. Now we're at this coronavirus. Now it's getting better. Now it's something else. Now it's the versus the daughter, the niece coming out with the book. Then it's Woodard coming out with his book. Now it's just one thing after another. They can't take this man down.
No.
So and I'm excited.
So speaking of that, so let's just digress here for just 2 seconds. So the person that you're involved with, he is a Democrat. I know that I've had conversations with him before. So when I asked him Democratic leading questions, he didn't believe in any of what the Democrat platform is about, right? At all.
Right.
So then he's like, well, I don't know, maybe I'll be a socialist. I'm like, well, you don't want to be a socialist because then they're going to take everything from you. And basically the rich get richer and all of us are just poor living off of a cow that's in the woods somewhere. So is that uncomfortable for you at times? Do you guys discuss politics? Do you just not even talk about it? If you do,
truth of the matter is we broke up over it because I forgot what was said. Do you remember, Dashe, the conversation where we were arguing, we were having a discussion. The discussion turned to a level, to another level. And I wasn't even trying to argue, but I knew my point was correct about Trump. And I unfortunately can't remember what it was, but it got to that point. We don't discuss politics no more.
Right.
We don't. So the only thing he agrees with me is this coronavirus is fake. It's a plandemic. It's a political thing. And that is the only thing that we do agree on.
Correct. I mean, well, we all agree, honestly, COVID is real, but it's not a pandemic. It's not serious.
Right. Correct. It's a severe case of flu, a different influenza.
Correct. And if it was so different strand, bad, then there would be, we would have to walk around in hazmat suits and we wouldn't be able
to.
Well,
we should be dead, or we should be severely sick. Me, my daughter, my grandkids, we've been out here all over the country maskless.
Yeah.
So you don't I will agree to say, because I am single, but a part of the dating is kind of, you know, trying to figure out their views. I think that's kind of important now because you don't want to be in the predicament that she's in.
And that's a great segue there too. And I know I said that like 9 hours ago. Okay. So do you find it difficult? So Lisa, not you, because you're white, so I hate to say that, but Dashea, as a brown person, do you find it difficult? And then we'll segue into what we need to talk about today. But do you find it as a, you know, a brown person to support, do you find it difficult to support outwardly Donald Trump?
No. I mean, no. I'm waiting for my hat once I find the right hat.
I got a really cute hat. I've got a pink hat and I got a trucker's
hat.
I actually like the red one.
Oh, you're bold. So, I didn't want to get a red one. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't about
to get decked
out.
We want a nice hat. We do.
Just don't get red. I'm telling you, be ready to fight or have some mace on you. Got some crazy people walking around today.
These men wear these Trump hats out there, and I'm like, go Trump.
Because Cardi said that the Trump supporters beat her sister up.
I know, right? And that's funny. Again, you know me, I always had to bring in the Bible, but the scripture says that people in the last days will trade evil for good and good for evil. And I think we're kind of seeing that today. Case in point, you got cuties on Netflix. You got Netflix who won't admit that they're a pedophilia.
A lot of people have unsubscribed because of that.
Yes, I haven't. I stopped listening to Netflix or watching them when I was in Atlanta. They had something on there with Donald Trump, and it was very biased. And then I resubscribed because it's cheap, right? It was like $7.99. But then that whole Barack and Michelle thing came out, and I'm like, oh, I'm done. This thing is so leftist. But for them not to admit, that's just disgusting. Like, to have 11-year-olds doing it, it was just disgusting. I don't know what kind of excuse Netflix wants to give to have 11-year-olds shaking their thing. Now, listen, we all know, we're not going to mention your name, but just for safety reasons, but my great niece is a dancer, and I don't think you or Lisa would allow her to dance at 11 years old in such a provocative way. Mm-mm. So we can blame Netflix, we can blame the studio, we can blame that, but we also have to lay the blame on the parents for that as well.
Of course.
Where were the parents when you're letting your kids dance like that? Now, I'm not saying at 16 or 18 it's different, but 11 versus 18, totally different, right?
Exactly.
So anyway,
where did you learn that from? Don't do that again.
No, but you have to, you know, and again, it's tough because she dances. So I'm sure that, you know, some moves will be there, you know, but you have to filter. You have to filter that content.
And that's why you got TikTok out here. You know, they're out there teaching probably kids, not all the dance moves, of course, but you're going to have those ones that are on there. That's why it's up to you to monitor it. And, you know, God forbid they do see it, because you can monitor, but then at the end of the day, you can't monitor every single thing.
Do you block any of those apps on her phone, though, to where she can't see any of that?
Well, we don't really have TikTok. She follows a couple of cool people, but nothing like to the extreme.
She's so like I said,
I see. Yeah, she really isn't. She only goes on there to try to make her videos and, but to go on there, because even it's even on YouTube, right, where you show the video. So you're gonna get good and bad. But as long as, you know, our poor Jada Poo, she knows exactly what's right and what's wrong. Really, at the end of the day.
Right.
So if she does try it because she thinks that it's okay, she'll get the, hey, no, you don't do that.
So do you guys have the relationship kind of like you and your mom do, where she can come to you or she'll feel comfortable enough to say, hey,
for the most part,
mom, what is this? Yeah.
She comes to me for everything.
Yeah. Cause that's important.
Well, yeah, she comes to Libra.
You know? Yeah. That's important. Yeah. I always remembered you guys had that no matter what, you know, Dasha always knew no matter what it was. And honestly, I felt the same way with my mom. You know, I mean, she's picked me up a few times when I shouldn't be in a car. You know, I stumbled in drunk. I mean, but I think if a parent knows you in good or bad, you know, and the lie or the truth, they're going to always defend you, if that makes sense, right? Because you're not hiding, you're not pretending. And that's one thing I've never done. I was just like, yeah, I got wasted, or yeah,
is to not let media control your kids, because you can control your kids more than you can tell the media to stop, or, you know what I'm saying? So just... Right.
So do you filter some of the stuff, though, now, since you kind of have seen some of the stuff, the media that's behind some of their agenda? All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Do not forget to tune in next week for part two of this interview. We will answer the question, do they filter media in their household? We will also continue to discuss regarding issues with President Trump, about President Trump. And we will also be discussing race relations. So please tune in. It's going to be exciting. Thank you so much for listening to this week's podcast. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button right here on YouTube by selecting the little watermark right there in the corner. And as always, subscribe, 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 and please share this YouTube channel. Please also follow us on Facebook at Life Clips Podcast, one word, Life Clips Podcast. The same for Instagram at Life Clips Podcast. And of course, Twitter at Clips Life. Please also subscribe, like, or collect to your favorite podcast platform. We are on Google, Apple, Pandora, Spotify, iHeart, and many, many more. And one final note, if you would like to contact us, please feel free to email us at lifeclipspodcast@gmail.com. Again, that is lifeclipspodcast@gmail.com. And as always, look up, for our redemption is drawing near.